Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Hello, and welcome back to EB5 Investment Voice. Today, we have Adrian Pomery of EB5 Investors Magazine, and he's going to share with us what they do in their print magazine, as well as their social media presence. He's also going to be sharing with us a little bit about the EB5 Investors Magazine conference coming up on July 17th and 18th, which is this weekend, and a little bit of what to expect and really why someone would want to go to one of these conferences. Of course, I'm also joined by Mona Shaw and Rebecca Singh, and they're going to be asking Adrian a few direct questions. But before we get too far into it, I'd like to introduce you to your host, Mona Shaw. Mona, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you. And hi, Adrian. Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. My pleasure. And thanks for having us on. It's a real pleasure.
We've actually had someone else from your team on one of our shows before, Courtney. But the reason we asked you on this particular show is that you have a first-time event coming up this week.
That's correct. We're located out here in Irvine, California, so we've been very West Coast-centric with our events, Las Vegas and Southern California, and then sprinkled in some international events. So we've had a lot of people in the community that have been begging us for a year or two now to do something on the other coast. So we're extremely excited to be making our way out to New York City coming up next weekend.
So you've done a few conferences. This is going to be your first one in New York?
Yeah, I think this is event number 10 or 11 for us. But yeah, this is our first New York City event. There's a lot of people in the community from the New York and the Northeast. So this is us answering the call, so to speak, to come out and accommodate some people in the community. And we're super excited about it. We're bringing new people out to the event. It's allowing us to reach a little bit of a bigger audience. So really going to be a good event.
Well, Adrian, I have Rebecca here also within the studio.
Hi, everyone.
We wanted to ask you some questions about this event because people are confused as to whether or not to go as developers. Should they spend the money? Investors, should they go on there? Because your conferences are not cheap. Can you tell us a little bit, first of all, about this event, what date it is, where it's going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The event is July 17th and 18th at the Times Square Sheraton, obviously in New York City. Our domestic events are extremely, I would say, big tent approach, which is one of the reasons it's good for anybody with any type of interest to potentially come out and attend, because there are a lot of great events for EB5 that are done by other organizations, but these organizations tend to be pretty centric to one aspect of the equation, so to speak. So this encompasses the entire ecosystem of the industry, from migration agents overseas, developers, regional centers, immigration attorneys, securities attorneys, other service providers. It's just a great mix of the community in one location, looking at the program in all kinds of different angles. It's just a great opportunity for anybody to get their feet wet who's ever thought of being involved in the industry, whether it be as a potential investor, whether it be somebody who is looking to potentially, it has a project they're looking to develop, or potentially we've even seen banks that are interested in providing escrow services. It's a great opportunity from an educational standpoint and a networking standpoint.
But Adrian, what if I've already got my feet wet? I've been out to a few events overseas. Rebecca and I have attended many, many events overseas in Dubai, China, etc., Russia recently. What would you say is an advantage of being in the United States, which is not overseas?
The one obvious thing that stands out is we've been the first group to incorporate the foreign migration agents into our events. So we'll have 60 plus foreign migration agents from China and other parts of the world out there. So you think about the amount of money that you as a regional center or an immigration attorney spend on a trip to China. This is proving pretty cost effective to have that many agents in one location domestically in the United States. I would say the other reason for somebody who's been involved in the EB-5 program for a while to come out is, I mean, this is an incredibly crucial time for the program with September 30th coming up, with the SEC issues that are rising to the forefront. So just having all the leading experts in the industry in one place to have a great conversation about some of these issues that are on the forefront of EB-5.
Okay, so Adrian, Rebecca here, chipping in. So you would say that this conference, as Mona had mentioned earlier, would be great for both small and large projects as a whole?
Absolutely. I mean, the great thing, obviously, we have our YLANs of the world who will be at the event, but we also have Tier 2, Tier 3 agents from China. We have agents from India. Obviously, as you know, India often looks for something a little bit different in a project. I mean, that's one of the things we say to potential developers looking at the program, is that our event allows you a way to kind of come out and pressure test your idea, so to speak, to agents and those like yourself who have been in the EB-5 industry for some years. So as you know, there's obviously a lot of upfront costs with EB-5. So this is a great opportunity to kind of see if it's for you and see if it's a good fit without, you know, jumping both feet into the pool, so to speak.
Well, Adrian, I think this, and I think, Rebecca, you would agree with me that EB-5 has changed a lot over the last few years. In the space, quite frankly, right now, if you're interested in marketing and media, I think you guys really have the headway.
I know we put in a lot of time and effort, especially developing the overseas agency relations. I mean, last event we did domestically in Las Vegas, we had over 60 migration agencies there.
That was a great event. Mm-hmm. We thought that the Vegas event has been one of the best you've ever had.
Well, and that was the missing piece of the puzzle, and we've really tried to involve the complete tent, the complete ecosystem of the industry. And, you know, we've had the U.S. developers, we've had the regional centers, we've had the attorneys, but let's be real, that's the other side of the equation, and that's the end goal is getting investors for these projects. And those are the people who, you know, control the flow of investors for regional centers over here. So, and plus they have valuable things to say. We always have a migration agency panel. It's good to know what they're thinking as well, so developers and regional centers back here can adjust. And, you know, the wind shifts quickly over in China with respect to EB-5, just like it does here.
Adrian, how do you get direct investors to come to your event?
It's not necessarily anything we target. We have a lot of incoming leads through our site from all over the world. And we have all kinds of people out there subscribing to our magazine, whether it be the electronic version or the hard copy version. We get upwards of 50,000 unique visitors a month to our site from all around the world. As you know, our site's in all kinds of languages. So you'd be surprised how people come to us. That's really the overlying goal of our organization, is to be an educational platform that people can come and get some good information as they start to enter the EB-5 world, because as you know, it's such a complex program, which is when you're talking about project development, meeting immigration law, meeting securities law. So we just want a good place for people to come get information, whether it be through our magazine, our site, or our events. So people can make good decisions, because as we've seen, when people aren't making good decisions with regard to EB-5, it can have an impact on the entire community.
So, Adrian, it seems that not only you have your conferences out there, but it also you have print media, and you also have, you know, getting everyone on the social media. So it seems that all three of these combined is what helps to get, you know, the investors and then these projects out there for those investors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, so many people these days are getting information through different channels. So I think it'd be foolish of us not to have a multi-pronged approach. So, I mean, you look at our Chinese outreach. Obviously, we have an employee or two actually on the ground in China, but we utilize WeChat. I mean, that's the way to get information disseminated in China is through WeChat.
We should actually probably explain what WeChat is. Rebecca, you want to explain?
Okay, so for those who are not in China, WeChat is a social media that incorporates everything. It's kind of your Twitter, Facebook, all in one. You can also text. So it has information where you can go in one person's page, get information from there, or you can look up, for instance, EB-5 SIR is another source where you can get information, such for EB-5, for instance. So it's your one and all app.
And I suppose because it's China also that WeChat followers come in the thousands.
Yes, yes.
We are actually going to have somebody soon who perhaps, you know, next week or the week after, who is one of the leading people in this set. And it's what he has is EB-5 SIR. And I believe he's coming to your event, Adrian. So we've actually booked him. I said, you're coming in and doing a podcast with us.
We've actually been able to establish a really great relationship with him.
There's a lot of overlap there.
Mm-hmm. Connor's a great guy.
Yep.
You know, so we've been able to kind of combine forces with him in a number of different aspects. So it's important. That's how information in China is disseminated. Obviously, we've been able to get our foreign publication, our foreign version of EB5 Investors magazine available over there as well. So
does EB5 magazine have a Weibo blog? That's a Weibo's your Chinese Twitter.
Yes, we have a you know, I'm not the expert on Chinese communication, but I know we're definitely taking advantage of the WeChat, and I believe we do have a Weibo as well. But don't hold me to that. I'll have to check with somebody on that one.
Okay. Well, I think any immigration and anyone in EB5 knows that Weibo and WeChat is the way to go for the Chinese market.
Absolutely. All right, Adrian, what about immigration attorneys and, you know, smaller people who might actually struggle just to pay the fees to get into one of your productions?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we have to worry about is overhead for events, and certainly New York City comes with the highest overhead we've ever seen. pricing is there, but I mean, I can just look at the success that attorneys have, especially smaller shops, of coming and meeting regional centers and agencies and getting some I-526 work out of that. I mean, if you get one or two I-526 petitions, you've way more than covered all the costs of coming to one of our events. So, and we actually do have a lower price for immigration and attorneys to come to the event. It's $100 cheaper than a regular general attendee. We love having attorneys there, but
you're the only one who loves having attorneys around.
Yeah, but you have different options too, right? So you have options where someone can go and do full out, have their booth and market that way. You have a lower option where someone can come and put their materials down, and you have the option of someone just coming in for the day and maybe networking on their own. Sometimes that face-to-face connection makes all the difference, you know, having the business card and making those interactions. So, you know, for those who are looking for conferences and are afraid to go out there and say, well, I'm not sure if I should put the money out for this, at least there's options with the EB5 Investor magazine.
Right. And I can also chip in that a few years ago, I think IIUSA really had the burden of helping the marketing as well as teaching and as well as the political side. Whereas I think now with you guys on the field, on the scope, that you've taken that burden off IIUSA, and it's very much, you know, you, EB5 magazine, and perhaps EB5 Info, which doesn't come anywhere near what you guys can produce.
We're very lucky to have IIUSA coming out to our event. We've always gone out to theirs. But, I mean, the main purpose of their organization is the well-being of regional centers.
Right, correct.
Which is a fantastic thing. But we have a more Big Ten approach. And so perhaps we're better equipped to carry more of the entire community, because our goal is to encompass the entire ecosystem. We're not just focused on regional centers. We're not just focused on immigration attorneys. We're not just focused on the migration agents. We're really trying to create an atmosphere where everybody can network and educate very well together, you know, under one roof for a day and a half. I mean, as you know, in this industry, it's really hard to get any semblance of people together because people are traveling so often. So from that aspect, the networking opportunities at this event, when you're talking about 600 plus people being there under one roof, when, you know, as you know, everybody after this event will be back to China or Brazil or wherever, it's hard to get a hold of people in this industry. So just the opportunity to meet face to face with colleagues and regional centers, immigration attorneys and agents, you know, for a day and a half is very valuable.
Well, with the success of your conferences and with, you know, your social media, do you feel like the print media is about to die?
Well, it's kind of funny because I was a former journalist, and I did see two of the papers I worked for a long time ago are no longer in existence. But, you know, for us especially, the print hard copy has been a very important part of what we've done. It really gave us credibility in China when we came out with our Chinese edition. We get really great response from the domestic community here in the United States about our print hard copy edition. So I just can't see us functioning without that aspect. I mean, you know, certainly that's kind of counterintuitive to what you see in other industries, but it's been a very large part of what we do here.
I agree with you on that, Adrian. I think print media still has a powerful impact when it comes to marketing. I agree with you with the credibility. I think a lot of people, when they see that print material, especially coming from sources such as EB5 Investors Magazine, it just makes the investor or the reader just feel that much more confident. Also, what I think a lot of people like to, they actually like to have it in their hand. It's tangible. It's easy.
It's a branding.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You can't brand it the same way on social media.
That it stays with you more. Having it in your office, in your house, whereas you have it on the computer, you see it, it goes and it's gone unless you print it out. But I think having that is, it just makes a difference.
But the disadvantage though is that by the time it takes for you to put a magazine together, perhaps many of your articles might be a little stale because things move so quickly in EB5.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's a balancing point there where you're trying to relay news. And the other thing we have to balance is this, our magazine, whether it's the electronic format, it's also available online, or the hard copy, is going out to a very broad spectrum of readers from an educational standpoint. So on the one hand, we're trying to create content that's going to interest you guys who are extremely experienced, but also for that developer who just knows very little about EB5 other than it's some kind of a alternate funding source for their projects, we also want to have content that appeals to them too. So, you know, with our conferences, we have that dual panel track where we have advanced and beginner panels, and that's how we accommodate that. So in our magazine, we are trying to run that broad spectrum of articles, you know, of educational level, where some of them have to be a little bit more basic, some of them are trying to be more advanced, also trying to bring feature type articles. And, you know, one of the things we've gotten a lot of positive feedback is kind of these features on interviews with foreign migration agents, with former investors and things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that. I mean, we publish 6 times a year, 3 times in English, 3 times in Chinese. So, you know, being current yet, you know, attacking issues at a little bit deeper level to make it more interesting and also cover more ground, because you're right, you know, things do change rapidly in EB5 as they do in the rest of the world. So, and that's also one of the reasons we have our website too. We have blogs posted on there frequently that are able to kind of be more in the heat of the moment, so to speak.
Adrian, you have a number of speakers coming to the conference, and a lot of them are very prominent immigration attorneys as well as other figures. How do you vet some of the legal advice which is given through your conferences?
We rely heavily on our conference committee. We have other people outside in the organization who assist there. Obviously, since we've done a lot of conferences at this point and been to a lot of other people's conferences, we have a good feel for who's a good speaker, who's reputable in the industry. But again, just with our blind editorial review, is these decisions are not just being made by us. We do lean on people in the community for, you know, advice and feedback as well, because that's a big part of what our event is about, is trying to bring forth the best information to the community that we can possibly provide.
And you always have a VIP event.
Yeah, we want to do something a little bit extra special for our sponsors. I mean, you know, they're spending a little bit more money to have added exposure. So the thing we've done with this event and the Las Vegas event is we bring the migration agents to the VIP event, and we bring our sponsors in as well. And it's just a little bit more intimate. We always have a nice venue, and it's just a little added exposure and networking opportunity.
Right. At the last event, you did have a number of congressional speakers.
Yeah, we were very lucky. Congressman Polis came out. You know, he's been a big supporter of the industry. We've had great relationships with Congressman Goodlatte, Senator Rand Paul, obviously Jared Polis. So, you know, that's an important part of things, just as it is with the other organizations out there in EB5, is having connections to Washington, because obviously the program is set to sunset September 30th, and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of issues that we'd love to see addressed. And those political relationships are huge.
Right. And everybody is interested to know what is going on. I mean, we're getting texts and messages all the time from overseas, just like, is there any news? Does anybody know what's happening? And I'm like, this is Congress. We won't find out till September 29th.
Well, that's a good point, Mona. Well, Adrian, let me ask you this. Obviously, the person that is going to be attending the conference this weekend, they probably already have their game plan together. They know who they want to speak to, at least specifically, or the types of people they want to speak to, whether it's other developers, they want to speak to investors or attorneys. I'm sure there's probably a few people that want to put the face to Mona's voice after they've been hearing this show for a couple of months. But what would you suggest for the person that can't make the conference this weekend? How could they get involved, either through EB5 Investor Magazine, upcoming conferences? I mean, how can they get the most out of this event without actually attending?
Yeah, Absolutely. I mean, we're here 365 days a year, and we understand that people can't always get to our events. There's, you know, especially in the summer, there's vacation, there's weddings, you know, all that kind of stuff going on. So we have a sign-in form on our website. You can put in questions to us. I myself speak a lot to developers throughout the course of the year. We're trying to be a kind of first line of defense for the community to help developers look and see whether their project fits with EB5, real preliminary underwriting type stuff. And we like to help people navigate through the process a little bit, especially the beginning process before you have to spend any of those upcoming, those upfront expenses. The magazine, not just do we have current magazine, but every magazine we've ever published is available online. There's great questions and answers from the attorneys in the community. Mona's answers quite a few questions, and we thank her for that. There's just a lot of great information on our site, and then you can get in contact with us and other great people in the community have their profiles on our site that you can reach out to as well. So, you know, just because you can't make the conference that's coming up in New York on the 17th and 18th doesn't mean you have to be out of the loop with us by any respect. So we're here. We're always providing feedback to people, directing people to people in the community. Great attorneys such as Mona and other people in the community are on our site. So it's just come be part of the community.
Do you have your next domestic conference planned already?
Yes, we will be back at the Bellagio in the middle of January 2017 in Las Vegas.
That's my skiing holiday again.
Yeah, you got to get out of New York in the middle of January, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be your fourth year in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we found that Las Vegas is a great venue. Obviously, there's a lot to do out there. It's just had a tremendous response to it. It's also been an easy place to draw migration agents to. Mm. Obviously, the venues there are tremendous. We've done the Encore and now the Bellagio this past year, and then this year coming up. So just lends itself to a great event, just like we're hoping New York City lends itself to a great event.
So we have a number of developers who we had suggested to them, Adrian, that they go to your event. But a lot of developers didn't really see the value of going to an event locally. They felt that they're wasting their money if they do something on domestic turf and that they would rather spend going overseas.
For those developers who must have missed out on the point that we're bringing 60 plus migration agencies there to their backyard, which therein saves them a lot of money on travel expenses when you can, travel domestically. I mean, a lot of groups have taken advantage of that. They love that. But also you never know. We get a lot of smaller immigration attorneys that, have this small pipeline of investors. And, those can be very valuable for regional centers and developers, too. You never know who's going to have five potential investors from Romania or something that, they're looking for a project. I mean, we hear stories like that all the time about our events.
I agree. And I think that there's some things that developers tend to miss. And one thing is that there's a credibility. Every time you're at an event or you are advertising or somebody sees your name, it gives that project a credibility. And credibility leads eventually to getting investors.
You nailed that one dead on there, especially if you're a newer developer, like with One Lily Pad. One of the reasons they're connected with one of their agents is they saw how committed they were to EB5 because they were at conferences, they were in the magazine, and that spoke volumes. EB5 is not easy, so if you look like you might cut and run at the first sign of trouble,
it
doesn't resonate.
Well, this is a big issue. Actually, Rebecca will, you agree that this is a big issue now because we've worked with a number of developers, big developers in New York, who went through the process initially and put up the documents and stuff and then found EB5 difficult and dropped out and decided to go for conventional financing. And the problem here was that there were already investors who had decided to go with their project. So that's an issue in itself.
So, and what we see a lot too is that we get projects, developers that come out and say, well, I went to an event, but I didn't get anything out of it. And we're like, well, one, I don't know what you're doing, but it's one event. You like Ramona said, you need to get out there. You need to get your name known. And I don't know if you've seen that, Adrian. I think they want to get something right from the beginning, not knowing it is a lot of hard work.
It's hard work and you have to have patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it always interests me when people are like, well, I tried it. I went out and did this event. You know, number one, all events aren't created equal.
Yeah.
I would encourage everybody to take a shot at our event. But additionally, a lot of these developers, when they're picking projects, they'll look at all kinds of proposals in front of their desk. So for them not to then to change that attitude with regard to fundraising in EB5 is a little bewildering sometimes, because it's like, okay, you sifted through a bunch of potential projects before you settled on one. Why do you expect this to be like a one and done process in EB5 that you go to one event and everything's rainbows and unicorns, so to speak? So, you know, it's definitely it's a commitment. And anybody who's ever been successful in this industry, especially in the last couple of years, just is willing to keep after it. And then that's clear.
Right. And this is the other thing, that one thing that you said is very true, that all conferences are not the same. And we are finding now that there are so many invitations to so many conferences all over the world. It's actually very difficult to choose which is the right conference to go to.
There's no doubt. And for some developers, it's going to be a feeling out process. And, you know, it's a feeling out process for us, too, because we go to other people's events and, you know, we have to go to try and see whether it's something we'd like to continue in the future. I think that the thing that speaks volume for us is, you know, our events have grown from 150, 200 people to over 600. We, especially with our international events, we're getting a high level of retention from groups from one event to the other because they found value and they wanted to come back again for the next round. So, I mean, that's we look at the number of sponsors we have. I was just looking at our program guide from Newport 2014. We had like 25 sponsors. We have 70 this year, 72, 73. So, you know, the fact of that type of growth indicates there's something there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And then and a note to developers, there's a lot out there which is a waste of time. I don't really want to go into this at this particular podcast, but you really need to be careful for people who are just wanting to make a quick buck, so to speak, make some fast money by introducing you to people who just are a waste of time. Unfortunately, that is happening. Wherever there is an issue of money, there's always going to be something like that.
I mean, that's been one of the big issues with EB5 is, because it exploded so fast, there are definitely opportunists out there.
Right.
But,
yes.
You know, what we've always seen is if it, you know, EB5 is not easy. So if it's too good to be true in this industry, it probably is. So.
Well, what I was very impressed with in the Vegas conference, Adrian, was the fact that I came across agents that I knew from Brazil, as well as, you know, India, as well as China. And places far out, like, you know, Macau and Hong Kong. So you did actually manage to pull in people from all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously China has produced, you know, 80-85% of the investors here, but there are other countries that are opening up and developing, and obviously with retrogression, projects are looking to these other countries more and more. So we had an event in Vietnam in March. We're going to do it again next year. We've sent people on the ground in India. You know, we've worked hard with to develop connections in Latin America. So yeah, there'll definitely be a lot of Chinese migration agents at the event. But as you said, there's going to be a lot of agents from other places as well. And there are definitely groups that are trying more and more to tap into those markets.
So Adrian, as you said, the EB5 market has really grown. The attendance at your own conferences have really grown. You know, we've talked a little bit about the large players and the incumbents, the people that have been in the industry for a while. But it also sounds that people need to see your face, whether it's the investors or the foreign agents, and each opportunity to get in front of these people currently and not 5-10 years ago would help build your credibility and authority. So it sounds like this conference this weekend and future conferences coming up may be a good opportunity for that.
EB5, there are now more projects in the marketplace than they've ever been. It's increasingly competitive. So more and more things matter in the equation for success in this industry. And, you know, making sure you're at events, making sure you're networking, making sure your face is being seen is important, because if you're not there, somebody else will be there and they'll be the one striking the deal with that migration agent or making that great connection with somebody, with a broker dealer who's got some investors overseas. So who you are and where you go is becoming increasingly important. No doubt about that.
Good point, Adrian. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about the EB5 Investors Magazine, as well as the conference this weekend.
Yeah, and I know this is coming out a little bit later in the week, but for anybody who's going to be in New York City area and like to come out, there are still a few spots available. You can actually email me at Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at EB5 Investors, and we'll definitely do everything we can to get people ticketed for the event, but it's definitely not too late to get in.
Excellent. And we'll make sure that we've got a link to your email in the show notes page. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com.
Again, I'd like to thank Adrian Pomery of EB5 Investors Magazine for coming on today's show. And if you're heading to the conference this weekend, be sure to say hi to Mona. If you can't make it, be sure to catch our next episode.
Make sure you don't miss it by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.